headlines. An Israeli parliamentarian says even Obama is not able to remove Israelis from the West Bank settlements. Also ahead, Sudan's main opposition parties boycott the first multi-party presidential election in 24 years. And Afghan President Hamid Karzai accuses foreigners of fraud during last year's presidential election.
Hello, everybody. Those were the headlines of 2200 hours GMT. It's 2:30 a.m. where we are in Tehran. This is Press TV.
Well, we're getting some breaking news in here before we start our news broadcast. Coming out of Palestine, the Gaza Strip, I believe Israeli warplanes have carried out five missile attacks on the Gaza Strip. According to Reuters, they carried out five missile attacks on the Hamas-ruled Gaza Strip on Friday. This is according to Palestinian witnesses. They said four of the airstrikes took place near the central town of Khan Yunis, the site of a deadly clash last week between Israeli troops and Palestinian gunmen, and the fifth airstrike rocked Gaza City. There are no immediate reports of casualties. Of course, we will keep you up to date as soon as we get anything more on that story here at Press TV. Well, an Israeli parliamentarian says even U.S. President Barack Obama will not be able to remove Israelis from the West Bank city of Al-Khalil, also known as Hebron. Ayub Kara says Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu needs to say no to Obama. He also says Israelis should not allow anyone to tell them where they can or cannot build. He made the remarks at a ceremony in Al-Khalil to celebrate the addition of the Ibrahimi Mosque, also known as the Cave of the Patriarchs, to Israel's heritage list. This as tension is high in Al-Khalil. Clashes have once again broken out between Palestinians and Israelis in the city. The clashes erupted when a bus carrying Jewish worshippers arrived in Al-Khalil to celebrate the Jewish Passover holiday.
Hamas slams a U.S. proposal for a four-month freeze on Israeli settlement construction to start talks with the Palestinian Authority. Hamas spokesman Fawzi Barhoum has called the proposal a mockery of the Palestinian people's rights and their national cause. Barhoum says the new U.S. proposal comes after Israel dealt a strong blow to the U.S. administration and refused to backtrack on its decisions to build more settlements. The spokesman also strongly criticized the Palestinian Authority for linking its resumption of talks with Israel to a settlement freeze.
Remaining in that region, Gaza residents have marked Arab Orphans Day. The occasion is to highlight and help alleviate the suffering of Gazan orphans, especially those who lose their parents during the 22-day Israeli war. Ashraf Shannon reports from Gaza.
Gazan orphans mark the Arab Orphans Day with artistic performances held to alleviate their suffering. An estimated 1,900 children lost parents in the Israeli 22-day assault on the tiny coastal enclave. Orphans were severely traumatized by the Israeli aggression.
I miss my father. He was killed by the Israeli army in the war. He used to buy me clothes and toys. But now I get these things from strangers on special occasions.
During the event, Gazans called for Israeli leaders to be prosecuted for the war they waged on their territory.
We call on the international community to prosecute Israeli criminals in the International Court of Justice for what they did to the children of Gaza.
2,000 children became orphans during the war, and these children were traumatized for life. Israeli leaders must be prosecuted for what their army has done to these children.
The government in Gaza says orphans who witness their parents die in front of their eyes require prolonged psychological counseling.
1,900 children became orphans during the war on Gaza. Some of them lost their fathers or mothers, and some of them both. Some of the orphans have even witnessed the killing of their parents. Children of Gaza, especially the orphans, are in urgent need of psychological and emotional care.
Israel says the war was waged to stop rocket firing into southern towns bordering the Gaza Strip.
On the Orphans' Day, Palestinians from all walks of life called for the Israeli leaders to be brought to justice for the suffering they have inflicted on the children of Gaza. Ashraf Shannon, Press TV Gaza.
Main opposition parties have withdrawn from Sudan's presidential election. Officials say head of the Umma Party, Sadir al-Mahdi, communist chief Ibrahim Nagood, and Hatem al-Sir from the Democratic Unionist Party have all withdrawn. They have cited fears of rigging and insecurity for their decision. The announcement comes after crisis talks hosted by U.S. Navy Scott Gratian. The boycott is expected to undermine the ongoing peace process between Sudan's government and the opposition. This month's election was expected to be the first national multi-party poll in 24 years. The only major challenger to face President Omar al-Bashir is the head of the Congress party, Sadir al-Mahdi. He has denounced other political leaders' decision to boycott the elections.
I mean, there are doubts because they want the elections right away now, and the best process, they want to reform. What could they do? They are asking the question only. What can we do to reform the process and better it? It would never become perfect, but at least, I mean, to improve, I mean, and to advance towards new legislatures, new governors perhaps. We don't know whether there will be a new president at all, actually. But they will go along with the Darfur issue, I mean, to finish it, and with the southern issue until the referendum is over.
Meanwhile, the International Criminal Court has approved an investigation into violent clashes after Kenya's 2007 presidential election. The court's prosecutor says Kenyan political leaders organized and financed attacks on civilians. Judges at the ICC have approved a probe into the 2007-2008 Kenyan violence. The prosecutor says he hopes the first cases will have been filed and gone through the hearings by the end of 2011. Kenya's next national elections are due in 2012. Authorities say more than 1,200 people were killed, hundreds raped, and over 350,000 forcibly displaced in the post-election violence.
To contribute to the prevention of crimes during the next elections, we must proceed promptly. We will. The current numbers are there around 1,000 rapes. However, in some areas, we have a record showing that for each rape recorded, another 9 rapes happen. So, if this is true, in all the country, there were at least 10,000 rapes. So, we cannot ignore that.
Afghan President Hamid Karzai has blamed foreigners for what he calls widespread fraud in the country's recent elections.
There was fraud in presidential and provincial council elections. No doubt that there was a very widespread fraud, very widespread. But it wasn't the Afghans, it was the foreigners who did this fraud.
Karzai, in a meeting with Afghan election commission workers, said embassies as well as UN and EU officials had been behind vote rigging last year. He picked out former deputy head of the UN mission Peter Galbraith and the head of the EU election observation mission in Afghanistan, Philippe Morillon. Karzai was declared a winner of the Afghan presidential vote despite fraud allegations in the race.
Well, Iran's foreign minister says Tehran's proposal for a nuclear fuel swap with the West is still on the table. Manoj Mutaki has made the comments while on an official visit to Algeria. He has reiterated that Iran is open to negotiations within the framework of the proposed initiatives. The P5 plus one group wants almost all of Iran's low-enriched uranium in one shipment, with fuel rods delivered to the country at an unspecified later date. Tehran, meanwhile, favors a phased swap of its low-enriched uranium for nuclear fuel. Iran says it needs the fuel rods to power a research reactor that produces medical radioisotopes.
China says it's still seeking a peaceful resolution to the dispute over Iran's nuclear energy program.
We believe as a sovereignty, Iran has rights to use peaceful nuclear energy. We hope relevant parties can enhance communication and cooperation to further clarify and properly deal with unresolved problems so as to find a diplomatic solution for the Iran nuclear issue.
This after the U.S. reports claimed Beijing of veto-wielding power in the U.N. Security Council has dropped its opposition to possible new sanctions against Tehran. Iran's top nuclear negotiator is in Beijing for talks over bilateral ties.
As I said, my visit at the invitation of the Chinese government aims at holding talks and consultations on expanding and deepening the mutual relationships and discussing both regional and international issues.
Well, Iran is celebrating the 31st anniversary of the founding of the Islamic Republic. 31 years ago, soon after the victory of the Iranian Revolution, the entire Iranian population in a free and fair referendum of 99.8% chose the Islamic system of government. Press TV's Fereydoun Sadiqzadeh has this report.
The 12th day of Farvardin, the first month of the Iranian calendar, is known as the Day of the Islamic Republic because it was on this day in 1979 that Iranians participated in a referendum and almost unanimously voted for an Islamic Republic. And it is worth noting that this decisive referendum was held less than 2 months after the grand victory of the Islamic Revolution.
The Republic part of the Islamic Republic refers to the fact that in this system the politicians are in power due to people's vote. The Islamic part refers to the fact that majority of people in this country are Muslims, and because of that fact, majority of people in this country want a country where the laws are in line with Islamic teachings.
The Islamic Republic of Iran has endured all sorts of challenges, including 8 years of imposed war, terrorist acts which claimed the lives of thousands of innocent civilians and officials, economic sanctions, as well as interferences in Iran's internal affairs and psychological warfare, which continues up to now.
For the last 31 years, you see different types of activities that the United States government is conducting. They oppose the revolution, they oppose the new government, they blockaded Iranian assets in the United States. They tried to orchestrate coup d'etats like 1953, which failed. Then when the war broke out between Iraq and Iran, when the Saddam government invaded Iran, United States very much supported that government. It gave it military aid and intelligence aid. And this type of negative activities vis-a-vis the Iranian people and Iranian government has continued up to today.
The Islamic Republic referendum of 1979 showed that the Iranian people who overthrew the British-installed and U.S.-supported Pahlavi regime wanted nothing less than a profound change that guaranteed the freedom to build the future of the country. Fereydoun Sadiqzadeh, Press TV, Tehran.
In Tehran, time is 2:44 a.m., and here is a reminder of this hour's top stories. An Israeli parliamentarian says even Obama is not able to remove Israelis from the West Bank settlements. Sudan's main opposition parties boycott the first multi-party presidential election in 24 years. And Afghan President Hamid Karzai accuses quote-unquote foreigners of fraud during last year's presidential election.